The wizarding world has changed dramatically since Voldemort's return. What was once a realm of wonder has transformed into a landscape of fear. Bridges collapse, killing dozens of muggles. Mysterious hurricanes devastate communities. Prominent wizards like Amelia Bones are murdered in supposedly secure locations. Most chilling of all, the Dementors have abandoned Azkaban to join Voldemort, breeding freely and spreading their soul-crushing mist across Britain. Even Hogwarts, traditionally the safest place in the wizarding world, feels the impact as parents withdraw their children in unprecedented numbers. Security measures intensify with Aurors stationed at Hogsmeade and enhanced magical protections around the castle. The ministry distributes largely useless security pamphlets while opportunistic vendors hawk fake protective amulets to exploit public fear. When the Muggle Prime Minister desperately asks why wizards can't simply use magic to solve everything, the new Minister of Magic, Rufus Scrimgeour, delivers a chilling truth. The trouble is, the other side can do magic too. This simple statement underscores Harry's fundamental challenge. Raw power alone won't defeat Voldemort. The conflict will require strategy, wisdom, and choices that go beyond mere magical ability. Through Dumbledore's memories, we witness Tom Riddle's evolution from troubled orphan to feared dark wizard. Young Tom already displayed disturbing traits, using magic for cruelty against those who crossed him. The Gaunt family history proves illuminating. These impoverished descendants of Salazar Slytherin clung to their pure blood status while living in squalor. Marvolo Gaunt neglected his children, while his daughter Merope escaped by using a love potion on Muggle Tom Riddle Sr. When she stopped, believing he'd stay for their child, he abandoned her. Merope died after naming their son Tom Marvolo Riddle. These glimpses reveal unsettling parallels with Harry, both orphans, half-bloods, and parcel-mouths. Yet their paths diverge dramatically. Voldemort obsessed over his Slytherin heritage and rejected his Muggle father, while Harry embraces his mixed heritage. Most crucially, Harry draws strength from love, while Voldemort sees it as weakness, a difference that shapes their destinies more than any prophecy. No character inspires more debate than Severus Snape, who stands at the center of the Half-Blood Prince's most shocking twist. Throughout the book, clues about his true allegiance form an impossible puzzle. His unbreakable vow to protect Draco and complete Voldemort's task suggests either treachery or a dangerous double game. The revelation that Snape is the Half-Blood Prince adds another layer of complexity. Harry has spent months admiring the prince's brilliant potion innovations. How could someone he despises be responsible for knowledge that brought him such success? Snape's apparent betrayal culminates when he casts the killing curse on Dumbledore after Draco fails to do so. Dumbledore's final plea, "Severus, please," remains ambiguous, either begging for life or asking Snape to fulfill a prearranged plan. Even while fleeing, Snape prevents Death Eaters from killing Harry, insisting Potter belongs to the Dark Lord. His proud reaction when Harry attempts his own Sectum Sempra reveals a complexity beyond current allegiances. Against the backdrop of war, teenage romance unfolds with surprising depth. Harry's feelings for Ginny evolve naturally. Her scent in the Amortentia potion, stolen glances, and the monster in his chest that roars when Dean touches her. Their relationship culminates in a spontaneous kiss after the Quidditch final, creating joy amid darkness. Ron and Hermione's long simmering tension erupts into jealousy. Their drama unfolds through charged encounters. Hermione's invitation to Slughorn's party, Ron's cruel mimicry, and her conjuring of attacking birds. Ron's relationship with Lavender, 1-1, and Hermione's date with McLagan portray adolescent romance with painful accuracy. Adult relationships offer deeper perspectives. Fleur's commitment to Bill after his disfigurement becomes pivotal, I am good-looking enough for both of us, I think. This prompts Mrs. Weasley's acceptance of Fleur and Tonks's confrontation with Lupin about his self-isolation. Through these relationships, Rowling shows that love isn't just what once saved Harry, it's what makes life worth fighting for. McGonagall notes that Dumbledore would have been happier than anybody to think that there was a little more love in the world, reminding us that even in war, love remains our strongest shield against darkness. The prophecy that neither can live while the other survives forces Harry to accept his fate as either victim or murderer. When shared with Ron and Hermione, their unwavering support reinforces the friendship that has sustained him throughout. Dumbledore's private lessons focus not on combat magic, but on understanding Voldemort's past, emphasizing that defeating the Dark Lord requires wisdom rather than just magical skill. The discovery of Horcruxes, objects containing fragments of Voldemort's soul, transforms Harry's mission from a single confrontation to a complex hunt. The cave sequence, where Harry must force Dumbledore to drink torturous potion only to find a fake locket, reveals the personal cost of this quest and the challenges ahead without Dumbledore's guidance. By the book's end, Harry embraces his destiny, deciding not to return to Hogwarts, transitioning from student to warrior. When Ron and Hermione pledge to join him, Harry feels like a weight being lifted. While prophecy determines his path, how he walks it remains his choice. Dumbledore's death marks the book's emotional climax and end of childhood innocence. His vulnerability, shown through his blackened hand and increasing frailty, makes his loss devastating after serving as Harry's mentor for 6 books. On the astronomy tower, an immobilized Harry watches helplessly as Draco disarms Dumbledore, an action with future significance. Death Eaters transform Hogwarts into a battlefield, and Snape's killing curse shatters Harry's protected world. Dumbledore's fall, for a split second, he seemed to hang suspended beneath the shining skull, and then he fell slowly backward like a great rag doll, becomes a haunting image. In death, Dumbledore grows more complex. The fake Horcrux reveals his miscalculation, questioning his judgment. The mystery of his trust in Snape deepens, yet the White Tomb and Phoenix Song affirm his fundamental goodness despite flaws. His funeral unites the wizarding world's diverse elements, centaurs, merpeople, ministry officials, and students, all in shared grief, suggesting Dumbledore's death might achieve the unity against evil he sought in life. As Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince concludes, the mysterious textbook symbolizes Harry's ambiguous knowledge, containing both helpful wisdom and dangerous magic, mirroring the wizarding world's light and dark aspects. Harry's decision to leave Hogwarts marks his transition to adulthood. The school can no longer shelter him from destiny. Yet warmth persists. Ron's insistence that Harry attend Bill and Fleur's wedding provides a last golden day of peace, reminding us that life's celebrations continue even in darkness. Dumbledore's White Tomb serves as both ending and beginning, closing an era while Harry's acceptance of his mission opens the path to Voldemort's defeat. Uncertainty looms alongside hope in Harry's sustaining friendships. Harry now fully embraces what lies ahead, no longer surviving by luck and others' protection. The journey will test not just his magical ability, but his courage, judgment, and capacity for love, qualities distinguishing him from Voldemort. Though darkness gathers, Harry faces it with friendship's light and strength of purpose.